Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Packers pregame, postgame analysis here on Blog Talk Radio, where for the next 30 minutes, we will be discussing last night's game and the overall current state of our favorite team, the Green Bay Packers. I'm your host, Davey Miller, and welcome to the show. Joining me on the show are fellow staff writers at LombardiAv.com. And who do we have at 816 area code? Is that Kevin? Who's in the 816 area code? Okay, well, I guess we are all in preseason mode. Let's go ahead and start talking about the game overall. Obviously, the weather is probably the main story. Talking to the players last night, they were surprised. They said they had never played in such horrendous monsoon weather. Now, when I was in the Marine Corps, I was stationed over in the Philippines, and they had real monsoons over there. So I don't think it was monsoon conditions like that, but their point was that it was raining pretty doggone hard, and the ball was slick, as evidence to the combined 8 fumbles between the two teams, and with both team losing 1 fumble. So the weather did play a part in it, with particularly Devontae Adams, who was the first guy off the bench in punt returning, and he muffed 2 opportunities. So could that have been because of the weather? Doesn't matter. It has to be taken care of. Micah Hyde, he bobbled one but got it back. Someone else bobbled one and got it back. Yeah, the ball was no doubt slick out there. But football has no forgiveness. If you fumble the ball inside the 10-yard line, the very next play, your opponent's probably going to score a touchdown, which is exactly what the Tennessee Titans did, and that ultimately was the difference in the game. So, again, I'd like to welcome everybody. If you would like to call in and participate in our show today, our phone number is area code 347-838-8597. We are here on Blog Talk Radio talking about the Packers pregame, preseason game last night against the Tennessee Titans. Let's start back at quarterback. Aaron Rodgers did not play. In addition, Jordy Nelson did not play. Neither did Eddie Lacy. So some of the star power that the Green Bay Packers had offensively did not dress, not really because of injury, but just precautionary, and to give the younger guys a ton of experience, and that's certainly what happened last night. Matt Flynn had several series and snaps under center, and he started the game out. And then Scott Tolzien came in and looked really good at the end of the second quarter and then the full third quarter. So, and then Chase Rettling, he closed the game out. Coach Mike McCarthy said he wanted to give everybody a chance of the young players, and he gave the young quarterback the whole fourth quarter. So a lot of tape to look out for the Packer coaching staff. And they'll certainly be getting back to work on Monday, making corrections and preparing for next weekend's game against the St. Louis Rams under the Dome in St. Louis. Any comments that anybody wants to make out there? Go ahead.
Can you hear me, Davey?
Yeah, finally. I asked for you about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, I didn't know.
What's going on, Kevin Dickens?
Not much. Glad to be back on the podcast.
What did you think of the game last night?
I thought the team did look pretty good, actually. I thought Scott Tolzien looked excellent. I thought he came in with great command of the offense. I think Mike McCarthy showed some real trust in him with 36 seconds to go in the second quarter before halftime. You know, he puts him in there in the no huddle, and instead of just sitting on the ball, you know, in heavy rain, he gears him up, and he takes him at about 40 yards down the field, tried to get himself in some kind of a, you know, in field goal range or at least try a Hail Mary. But I thought he showed great command of the offense last night. I thought, you know, if you're looking at the fourth running back, I thought Rajon Neal had a magnificent night last night. He showed a lot of bursts, showed some power down around the goal line when he scored that touchdown. You know, and I also thought the defense looked spectacular. You know, outside of giving up the one touchdown after that muff punt by Devontae Adams, I thought they were strong all night, kind of until the fourth quarter when the reserves came in and Mettenberger kind of just went straight down the field on them. But I thought the Packers looked good. I thought, you know, they're going to have to figure out, you know, what's going to go on with the punt return. I thought Devontae Adams, I thought maybe the first one might have been a little weather-related. He was backpedaling the second one. You know, he was camped under it, went right through his arms, you know, led to that touchdown. I thought, you know, DeJuan Harris, he kind of muffed one, kickoff, he got it back. But I thought he also looked great last night, him and James Stark. So I thought, you know, and the Packers kind of relatively escaped with, you know, kind of no injuries, which is great. You know, we've always had the injury bug the last couple of years, but I thought overall I was pretty impressed last night.
Yeah, I think Rajon Neal is going to be that fourth running back, five if you count John Kuhn. I'm thinking the Packers are going to keep five running backs. I think the Packers are going to keep three quarterbacks this year. They're going to kind of have to based on the disaster of last season. We know now that two quarterbacks can get injured in one season, not only Aaron Rodgers, but, of course, the ever-elusive Seneca Wallace pulled a hamstring on his first rollout. So we had two players injured. We went through six quarterbacks last year, not counting Aaron Rodgers, and Graham Harrell, B.J. Coleman, Vince Young, Seneca Wallace, Scott Tolzien, Matt Flynn. I think this year we have to keep three quarterbacks because this is a Super Bowl contending year, and you can't stumble with the most important position in the game. Scott Tolzien is not practice squad eligible, and you could see last night just how much of an upside and now how much of an understanding he has of our offense. And Matt Flynn, no, he's not great, but he's steady, and you can see last year he can win a couple of games for you in the interim if need be. So, Kevin, I don't know what your thoughts are, but I think the Green Bay Packers have to keep three quarterbacks.
I definitely agree. With Aaron Rodgers going down last year, it definitely showed that you must have a reliable backup. You know, since Seneca Wallace has got hurt, you know, it left us in a great bind. We were fortunate enough that, you know, Matt Flynn happened to be passing by on waivers from Buffalo at the time. So, you know, It happened to pass out in our favor, but I think you go to the year, you let Scott Tolzien and Matt Flynn battle for the second job, and whoever doesn't win the job, you have to keep a third. I think you look at Chase Reddick. I thought last night had a pretty decent night. You know, he could be looking at being the practice squad quarterback, and I think you have to keep three on the roster this year with what we went through last year, and just hope and pray that Aaron Rodgers doesn't go down for any significant amount of time again. And I think this team is definitely a Super Bowl contender.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then there was much talk about possibly keeping six wide receivers because of the amount of depth that's on the team. And, you know, you keep three quarterbacks, you keep six wide receivers, come on. Then you can only keep, you know, three tight ends and, what, eight, maybe nine offensive linemen, I think only eight. And that's not good either. It's a ripple effect. It affects the whole roster. And I think that sixth wide receiver spot, if they were going to keep six, was reserved for Apoderis, as he was going to be a specialist punt returner. But now that he's out of the mix, I don't think you keep six wide receivers. It's going to come down between The first four we all know is Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Jared Boykins, and Devontae Adams. After that, you got a slew of capable wide receivers, starting with Chris Johnson, Alex Gillette, Miles White, Kevin Burrell or Durrell, I can't remember, Dorsey, Kevin Dorsey. And he looks good, number six. But I don't, and Jeff Janis probably going to have to go in the practice squad. Excuse me. So I think, Kevin, they're only going to keep five wide receivers, five running backs, three quarterbacks. Now you're only going to keep minimum or maximum four tight ends. Kevin, who's going to be your four tight ends or three?
Well, if you're looking at last night, I thought Andrew Corliss had a big-time drop in the second quarter. You know, Scott Tolzien lofted one off to him, and it went right off his hand. I thought Richard Rodgers had a pretty solid last night. I thought Justin Perlew made a nice catch. I know. I think if you're only going to keep five wide receivers, I think you have to maybe look into keeping five tight ends. Maybe you use them for what your sole purposes are. Maybe you use, you know, Corliss and Roger or Corliss as your main blocking back with Stoneburner, and maybe you just put Bostic out there and Rodgers out there as your more receiver prone kind of tight end.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you keep Corliss, Bostic, Rodgers. I think you have to keep maybe Ryan Taylor for special teams, and then maybe
mm-hmm.
Stoneburner. So I think maybe you keep five. If you're only going to keep five receivers. I'm kind of scared if the Packers keep five receivers. You know, we had, you know, last year James Jones missed about, you know, 2.5 to 3 games with a leg injury,
mm-hmm.
and then, of course, Randall Cobb for, you know, the extent of the season. So, you know, that's why, you know, Jared Boykin came about. I think maybe if you decide to go six, you know, maybe keep Chris Harper. I thought he had a pretty good night last night.
Well, Chris Harper,
you know,
he's been my dark horse since the end of last year. I predicted big things for him this year. Now, he's had several drops, including one again last night on a two-point conversion.
Yeah,
so right now he's kind of in the mini doghouse, if you will. And if he's gonna expect to make that 53-man roster, he's got to start right now catching everything within his reach. The good thing about him is he's almost 230 pounds. He outweighs every other receiver on the roster by at least 12 pounds, most of them 20 pounds. Fourth-round draft pick out of Kansas State. Last year, I think it was, he was a rookie, drafted by Seattle, then cut, picked up by the Niners, then cut. Packers picked him up. Big-bodied receiver because the Packers, you know, kind of have those 200-pound receivers. He's 230 pounds. I'm pulling for him. But he made some good plays and he made some bad plays. So we'll just have to wait and see on that. And then what are you going to do at offensive line? You're only going to keep eight, correct, Kevin? Probably the five starters, including J.C. Tretter and then Corey Lindsley, Lane Taylor, and Derek Sherrod. That's going to be your eight O-linemen, or do you see it differently?
I definitely agree with you there. I was kind of watching the trenches kind of last night, and, you know, some of those guys, you know, Tiller, he didn't look – I think he got blown up on quite a few plays, you know, and I saw Adams, he, number 77, was getting blown up on a few plays. So, you know, maybe as the preseason goes on, maybe they get better, maybe you keep maybe one more. You know, just because it's the offensive line and you just never know. It's just unfortunate that we lost Don Barclay for the year. I think you're looking
mm-hmm.
at, you know, as five starters, a very, very stout, you know, offensive line, maybe the best that we've had in a pretty long time. You know, they should be able to keep number 12 upright and keep him shining and giving him a great year. But I think maybe you do only keep eight. I didn't see anybody who stood out last night outside of eight that you mentioned that, you know, looked like they were going to make the roster going forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then, Kevin, last night the ones on the defensive side of the ball played a decent amount of time in that first half, talking about mostly Julius Peppers and Clay Matthews, Dayton Jones, Mike Neal, Nick Perry played a lot. What was your assessment overall of the defense when, I'd say the first quarter and a half, when most of the upper-tier guys was on the field playing? Overall, they gave up 105 yards rushing for the game. Tennessee averaged 3.3 yards per carry. But what was the early assessment? What's the early returns of that Peppers-Matthews combination?
Well, I think last night we didn't really throw too many looks at Tennessee, but I did think the defense was very stout against the run. I thought for the most part they really bottled up Sean Green. I thought when they were in there, they bottled up Bishop Sankey. You know, it's just unfortunate that they gave up the touchdown right outside of a muffed punt. But, you know, that was kind of Brad Jones getting sucked inside and Julius Peppers taking too much of an outside route on that play that gave up that cutback. But I thought they looked pretty great against the run. You know, I didn't see too much of a pass rush, though. You know, they generated the ones last night. I didn't see anybody really in the backfield getting after the quarterback. I thought they kind of had their, you know, they had time to throw. You know, I think late in the second quarter, you know, Dom Capers called a blitz and Jared Bush got a sack, but I thought it took that. You know, they missed the on that big third down. They had him. You know, they're trying to arm tackle and just trying to grab jerseys in the rain, which is unfortunate. You shouldn't try that. And they ended up giving up a big time first down at the end of the half. But I thought overall, against the run, they looked great. You'd like to see more of a consistent pass rush, and maybe that was, you know, just for first preseason game. You're just kind of cautious of the players. You're not really calling a whole lot. So maybe we'll see more of it next Saturday against the Rams. But I'm looking forward to seeing what the defense is going to do next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and on the defensive line, you got LaTroy Guyon and Jarrell Worthy that hasn't even practiced yet. You got that nose tackle, undrafted rookie. It starts with a Perillo. That might be the tight end. But there's a big stud defensive tackle that they kind of like. I don't know. Maybe he
Pennell.
Might be. Yes, Pennell. He might warrant a roster spot over those two. I don't know if they're going to be giving up on Jarrell Worthy going into his third year. He's a second-round pick out of Michigan State. But he's literally shown nothing due to injuries, of course. And then Guyon. He was an average defensive lineman at Minnesota. We signed him to the veteran minimum. I don't know, you know, what the Packers are thinking about him, but he certainly could be in danger of losing a roster spot. A couple of undrafted free agents, Kevin, that I wanted to get a look at. One of them was Adrian Hubbard, the outside linebacker from Alabama, went undrafted, projected to possibly go in the fourth or fifth round, but nobody touched him. There was reports that he had an irregular heartbeat. That turned out to be false after the draft. He was cleared before the draft, but people still stayed away from him. Packers snapped him up right away. He's 6'6", 257 pounds. He's as tall as Julius Peppers, plays the same position. I've been pulling for him to do some good things, but last night – he kind of disappeared. And then for a rookie, I don't know, did you see Carl Bradford out there, number 54? I didn't even see him, and I was looking for him. So did Carl Bradford even play last night? Talk about Adrian Hubbard and Carl Bradford.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I didn't really see anything out of Adrian Hubbard last night, you know, that warranted any kind of an extracurricular look. Carl Bradford, I was kind of looking for him too. I didn't really see him at all last night either. So I don't know. Maybe before the game, they decided he wasn't going to play, but I didn't see him too much. Maybe I just kind of missed him. Either way, neither one of them stuck out of your mind. They didn't do anything spectacular that made you remember that they were on the field at all. So, you know,
right.
That's not a good look when, especially for Adrian Hubbard, you're trying to make a team, and Carl Bradford, when the Packers are looking at you to be that kind of that second motor off the bench to get after the quarterback, it doesn't look great, going forward.
We are talking with Kevin Dickens, a LombardiAv.com staff writer here on Blog Talk Radio. We are talking about last night's preseason game where the Green Bay Packers were downed by the Tennessee Titans 20-16 in a rain-soaked game one. Moving on to game two, Kevin, we expecting Aaron Rodgers to play much at all. He's certainly not going to sit for two games in a row, are they, heading into that third game where the number ones normally play a whole half? Is Rodgers going to play next week, you think?
I would hope so. I know they're probably, wanting to make sure that we don't have any kind of crazy injuries or whatnot, but I think we need to see him out there for at least, two possessions, kind of see, get Jordy Nelson out there, Eddie Lacy out there, kind of get the offense rolling a little bit. I mean, you got to get some reps, some repetition, some game time speed. We're going to go up to Seattle open the year, and that is not an easy place to play. And so we're going to need to be sharp, and you want to try to get some of those repetitions going. I'm not saying throwing them out there for huge chunks of time like we've been seeing some of the other teams do with their first team offense, dangling kind of deep into the second quarter a little bit. But, if Sam Bradford's going to play next week, we need to see Aaron Rodgers play next week, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he'll play too. I don't think we've ever set our starting quarterback for 20 years. Brett Favre never set. That I can recall, the first game of the preseason. I was all for it last night. I was all for Jordy Nelson. I was all for Eddie Lacy. Why put him out there in rain-soaked conditions when you really don't have to? No, we're not being chicken bleeps doing it. It just makes good sense. Aaron Rodgers is a $120 million man. It just makes good sense. Eddie Lacy is our wild card. That man runs wild this year, and he and Rodgers can team up for 16 games. They only teamed up for six games last year, plus the playoff game. So you got a lot to be excited about from that point. And then, Kevin, talking about being excited, did you get excited about Ha-Ha Clinton Dix last night? Do you think he was impressive, or do you think he was non-existent?
To be honest with you, I thought last night he got beat a few times in coverage. I thought, in the first half, Charlie Whitehurst was going on an out route to a tight end in which he kind of overthrew him. But, that tight end had beaten Clinton Dix. And then later on a seam route, I think his name is Tyler Thompson maybe for Tennessee. He was rolling, on a seam route. He had beaten Clinton Dix right off the line of scrimmage. But at the last minute, Clinton Dix was able to make up a little bit of ground and smack the ball away at the last minute out of his arms. But, for the most part, that's a backup tight end that you got beat by twice. When you go up against the elites or the better players of Brandon Prettigrew, Martellus Bennett, Kyle Rudolph, when you're going up against better tight ends, you can't afford, to get beat off the line so fast or be out of position. Those are going to be the kind of guys that make those catches and make them count when their team needs them. So, I thought last night he kind of lacked a little bit. I thought Micah Hyde looked excellent. I thought he was all over the field. He was where he needed to be. At the end of the day, I think Micah Hyde is just a football player. You can line him up.
Exactly.
Whatever position you need on in the secondary, he's going to go out there. He's going to give you 110%, and he's going to be where he needs to be. And I think coming into his second year, I'm expecting him to have. I would be honest. I'm expecting he's going to win this job coming straight out of camp. And I think that Morgan Burnett and Ha-Ha are going to fight for that other job.
Why not Morgan Burnett's job be in jeopardy? Why can't Micah Hyde and Clinton Dix start?
Right.
Everybody's a shoe-in for Morgan Burnett when he had a down year last year. Now, you're certainly not going to start him just because of his contract. If his play doesn't pick up from 2013 and Clinton Dix and Hyde outplay him during training camp, I have no problem starting those two. You know what? That means we've improved because now the first guy off the bench at safety is Morgan Burnett. I mean, that's
right.
Either way they go in the safety position, you're probably going to start Morgan Burnett. You're probably, I don't know. They could start Clinton Dix if they tell Hyde, okay, we're going to make you that third safety. Try telling Sean Richardson that. But we're going to make you that third safety, and you also are going to be our number one punt returner. So
Right. Start
Clinton Dix, put Hyde at punt returner, and Hyde's going to play in the secondary somewhere. He can play
right.
in the slot. He can play safety now. He can do all kinds of things, depend on where they put House or Haywood. They got a lot of talent back there. But I say make Micah Hyde your number one punt returner and start Ha-Ha Clinton Dix if you think he's playing as well as Micah Hyde. Clinton Dix certainly looks good against the run. He looked good against the run on the scrimmage, and he looked good against the run last night. In coverage, yeah well, every rookie comes in has got to work on that, tighten that up. But overall, I'm happy with Clinton Dix. Well, Calvin Pryor, the big hitter for the Jets, he's been out with a concussion for 2 weeks. So who would you rather have? Yes, Pryor got a concussion as a protector on the punt return unit, but I always wanted Dix over Pryor anyway because I think that Clinton Dix will last longer because he's not a kamikaze type Chuck Cecil out there. So very happy with Clinton Dix to this point. Very happy with the Packers overall. Their practices have been up-paced. They haven't had a whole lot of injuries. You did mention Don Barclay. That causes a domino effect for the depth of the offensive line. That's why you may have to keep an extra offensive lineman now, keep 9 instead of 8, because Barclay was good for 2 positions minimum. Two positions being guard or tackle, either side for him. So that was a valuable loss that way. But if the front 5 play well, like they did in that first drive and that impressive running drive to start the game out, things really look good. Did you pay attention at all to the rookie center, Corey Linsley, at all? Kevin, you got about a minute, and then I need to wrap things up. Did you assess Corey Linsley at all, the 5th-round pick out of Ohio State, who is a true center, trying for that backup or that starting job against J.C. Treader?
I did assess him last night. I was just kind of watching him on a few of the series. The kid is strong. He did, when we did some runs, he was really blowing some people off the line. Of course, I thought he struggled a little bit in pass protection, but I don't think that was solely his fault. I thought, Tiller and Adams around him struggled, which in turn, as the center, when you're, passing the protections and whatnot, I thought maybe that helped him in a little bit of his struggles. But I thought he did an excellent job in the run last night. And, I think as long as he's on the same page with Aaron Rodgers and the pass protection around him, they're all going to make him better. That also makes if he comes to shine and he plays well, that could also make it so J.C. Treader could play a little guard or tackle if need to, like he kind of did in college. It offers a little more flexibility for the Packers if he actually comes to camp and kind of wins this job over J.C. Treader. I think it kind of helps the offensive line a little more because then it gives, Treader a little more flexibility rather than just having to.
Yeah, he's center. Like a poor man's Don Barclay.
Right.
let me finish it off then by saying about Corey Linsley. Everybody says, J.C. Treader went to Cornell. He went to an Ivy League school. He's an intellectual, and he's smart. But you know what? He scored a 29 on the Wonderlic, and Corey Linsley scored a 36. So, maybe Corey Linsley's got a little intelligence about him as well. Bench press
right.
36 times, the 225 weight, talking about Linsley, which was tied for 2nd at the NFL Combine this year, deadlift 500 pounds. So he's a man, he's only like 21 years old, but Urban Meyer swears by him. We would like to thank you for listening to the Packer pregame special here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Davey Miller, and for our guest, Kevin Dickens, and our producer, Ray Rivard, we'd like to thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Okay, that's it, Kevin. Thank you.